A reading from the 20th Psalm, the Word of God for the people of God. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress, and may the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all of your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Well, we've made it through another Christmas season, though technically we are still in the season of Christmas, but already we are pointing toward the new year and a new decade, and at this time of the year, everywhere we turn, we are inundated with predictions. I've already seen prognosticators thinking ahead to the coming days and anticipating what is before us, and every time I hear or see or read a prediction, I am reminded of what Casey Stengel, the Hall of Fame baseball manager, used to say whenever he was asked at the beginning of a new season to predict his team's chances. Old Casey would always look at the reporter, and with a twinkle in his eye, he would say, "Well, I tell you now, predictions are risky, especially when they're about the future." I agree with old Casey. Predictions are risky because they deal with the future. And there is not a person on the planet who really can tell us with any degree of certainty what lies ahead for us in the coming days. No one knows what is before us, or even if the limb that we are standing on is going to be able to hold us up. And yet this morning, guess what I'm just about to do? I'm going to make a prediction. In spite of everything that I've just said, I'm going to get out on a limb. And I am going to predict that every single person this morning in this place, in the coming days, is going to experience a measure of trial and tribulation. Every single person here is going to face in the coming days in 2020 a bump in the road, a headache, a heartache. I wish I could predict otherwise, but brothers and sisters, that's just how this life works. I'm reminded of something else I once read by Scott Peck, the great psychotherapist, in his book, The Road Less Traveled. The opening lines in Peck's book, I think, summarize our situation to a T. Life, he said, life is difficult. And I don't know a one of us here this morning who couldn't offer a hearty amen to that because of how we have experienced life in the past. Life is difficult, and there's not a person here this morning who can expect to make it in the coming days without some kind of obstacle, setback, bump in the road. I'm not trying to bring you down this morning, as Peck also reminds us in his book, The Road Less Traveled. When we acknowledge the difficulty of life and quit pretending that everything is supposed to go easily, when we acknowledge that life is tough, it liberates us. It frees us not to think that we have to face all of those challenges in our own strength, in our own power, that we can look for help outside of ourselves. And as people of faith who gather here this morning in anticipation of the new year, come what may, we can know, because of what we have just celebrated, and for that matter are still celebrating, we're not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel. God is with us, and there is no greater source of help and hope in the face of whatever may come our way. No greater source of help and hope than that which the presence of God, God with us, provides. We see that truth in the psalm that is before us this morning, this 20th psalm. The book of Psalms, as you know, is the hymn book of God's people, both Jews and Christians. Because, as I have always contended, even though I am a preacher, we learn our theology not so much through the sermons that we hear as the songs that we sing. That's where we learn our theology, through the songs that we sing. And that is why the book of Psalms, in my estimation, is one of the most important books of the Bible. It's all about the songs of faith that we sing. And what I love about the book of Psalms is its rich diversity. We gather this morning for a combined worship. We don't have the opportunity to do that nearly enough. On most Sundays in our church, we have a group meeting here, we have a group meeting downstairs, and the primary reason that we have a group meeting here and a group meeting downstairs is because we sing different types of songs. And the great challenge when we come together is to find something that we can sing that will speak to everyone's soul. What I love about the book of Psalms is its rich diversity. It's not just one kind of music. There are songs of thanksgiving. There are songs of lament. There are songs in which those who offer their voices to God proclaim blessings. There are psalms in the Bible that when people raise their voices, they are raising them in curses. The psalm that is before us this morning in the 20th psalm is what is called a royal psalm. It is a song that God's people raise on behalf of the king. Because if the king prospers, then the people prosper. That's how life worked in ancient Israel. If the king did well, then the people would in turn expect to do well. If, on the other hand, things did not go so well for the king, how could the people expect the future to be bright for them? And so what we have before us is a royal psalm. The background of the psalm: a king in Israel is going forth in battle. He is going forth to wage war against an enemy. There is a bump in the road that is before the king and ergo the people of God. And so in anticipation of the king going forth, the people gather together with the king at the temple in Jerusalem, and they have a worship service. And there is sacrifice, and there are songs that are sung, and there are prayers that are offered to God, and it's all on behalf of the King. God, make the King victorious in battle. We see this, by the way. If you want to explore how that process worked, look at 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, where King Jehoshaphat goes out into battle against the kings of the Ammonites and the Moabites, and Jehoshaphat gathers with the people and sacrifices are offered, and the idea is, God, help the king to prevail. And what surprises me about this particular passage of Scripture is how the king never assumes that these prayers and God's help are his royal right. I'm the king. God is bound to enable me to prevail against my enemy. There's none of that whatsoever. The king is entirely aware of his unworthiness, and if God chooses to offer his aid, it is because God is a gracious and a merciful God. It's not because the king has done something to deserve it. The king does not presume upon God's grace. And the thing that inspires me about this psalm is the manner in which the king recognizes that God is in control. Regardless of what enemy is before me, regardless of what challenge our people will face, God is with us, and God is more than capable of winning the day and enabling us to receive the victory. I think you see the application. We gather this morning anticipating that uncertain future that is before us, a future that quite frankly makes some of us a bit anxious. It's very normal. Because we know that regardless of what we have in our possession, materially speaking or emotionally speaking or spiritually speaking, none of it on our own, in our own power, will assure us that we will prevail against the challenges that will be coming before us. There's not a person here this morning who can expect that in 2020, in his or her own power, to rise above every single trial and tribulation that will come your way. We do not have that capacity. None of us does, but God does. God does. That's what this psalm is telling us. A king would prepare by devising the best strategy. He would make sure his troops were ready for battle, that they had ample armament, but the one thing the king knew that he must do was seek God's help. And in spite of all that we have, all that we possess, the one thing that we must do as we face the coming days is to trust our tomorrows to God, knowing that God is in control of what is yet to be, and that any challenge that will come against us is a challenge that will falter and fail in the presence of God. The battles we fight will not be battles that we fight in our own power. They will instead be battles that we fight in the power of God. And when we fight those battles in the power of God, we know who ultimately will prevail. God will. And if our faith is in God, we will as well. This morning, as we come together on this last Sunday of the year. Are you prepared to trust your tomorrow to God? Are you prepared to face your future in faith and not in fear? Are you ready to believe in advance what will only make sense in reverse? All of the plans that you have harbored in your heart, will you align those plans with the heart of God? So that as the psalmist reminds us, when our plans are in line with the plans of God, then everything that we purpose will ultimately succeed. Garrison Keillor is a name I'm confident you know. Prairie Home Companion, what a great production. Those fictional tales, some not so fictional, but the community in which they were attached, Lake Wobegon, that's a fictional community where all the women are strong and all the men are good looking and all of the children are above average. That sounds like some places where I've lived. What I appreciate about Garrison Keillor, a humorist at heart, and yet a poet, and poets speak truths in ways that kind of backdoor us, remind us of what really matters. And for Garrison Keillor, devout Lutheran that he is, faith always found a way into every one of his stories. Have you noticed that? There was one collection of short stories that Keillor had written, stories that he had taken from his Prairie Home Companion series. We are still married. We are still married. And in that collection of short stories, the thread that runs through each of them is the difficulty of life. Life's difficult. It's tough. And there's so many things in life that are beyond our control, which gives us fits and makes us anxious. And we turn the page on the calendar, and instead of thinking what good thing is before us, it's what shoe is going to drop next. And Keillor, as Scott Peck reminded us, feels liberated in acknowledging the difficulties of life and in reminding his readers that in times such as the times in which we are living, cynical times, brother and sister, is there cynicism today as we've never seen before? And criticism and challenge. In times like these, Keillor says, we need just a measure of faith, what he calls a little bit of faith, to see us through. And I love one line in one of his stories. When the world seems to have gone temporarily to the dogs. You got that image. When the world seems to have gone temporarily to the dogs, cats have to learn how to be circumspect, to walk on fences, and to sleep in trees, and to have the faith. To have the faith that all the woofing is not the last word. My prayer for you as we anticipate a coming year is that anxious, uncertain times which may be coming your way will not cause you any undue degree of dread, but that you will have the faith that all of the woofing that will be occurring in your life will not have the last word. God will have the last word. And He will have it through the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That you will open your heart to Jesus in the coming days so that you will not have to fight your battles alone. God will be with you through the presence of Jesus. And because Jesus is at your side, your plans will be in line with God's plans, so that God may grant you the desires of your heart. And all of those plans will then and only then, most definitely succeed.